What do the ruling elite use sporting events for? Sport has always been used to pump fabricated emotion into the slave class because the slaves themselves have no chance to experience victory or high emotions within their personal lives. Sport makes the slave mind believe they themselves are winning because the mind can't tell the difference between the emotion of an external winning excitation or one that is internal. For example, when a person goes to a scary movie and a gruesome scene occurs, the body reacts like the audience member is experiencing the event personally. The body isn't aware that what's being viewed isn't real. The same goes with sports victories. The emotion of a victory is pumped through the slave class, and then the emotional centers of the brain believes and reacts like the slave is truly experiencing the victory personally. This leaves the slave satisfied emotionally and consequently ready for work down at the factories and government positions of the ruling elite the next day, which is the design of the sport indoctrination system, of course. The slave themselves, living a life of being a slave, would never experience such victory personally and would eventually become pushed to the breaking point without the sedating effect of the fabricated Hollywood production of sports-based emotions being driven through the nervous system of the slave class. This is also why the various sports leagues use salary caps, luxury taxes for teams who spend over the salary cap, and drafts to equalize the positive emotional impact across all teams over the long term. The agenda is to pump fabricated and fake emotions through the slave class using the neurological activation of key satisfaction-based sensory pathways to give a slave the impression that they're actually achieving life victories and winning when, of course, they're not. The sports agenda mimics the entire media-based entertainment agenda, which is to have a person on the couch who does very little beyond working and feeding themselves, trick themselves into believing that they're living a full and complete life by pumping fake life emotions through that slave. That slave can't ski down the mountain, but they can watch it. And the slave can't score the winning touchdown from the couch, but they can watch that as well. And watching it can light up their neurological pathways like they're there doing it personally. Life satisfaction is the result, but the experience was entirely fake, and the slave potential of rebellion is vented off for yet another week. In order to maximize this effect, the fake emotions have to be shared between fans across the entire league. Having only one team win consecutively over and over again would erode the primary agenda of sedating the slave class as a whole, even though each game played will always produce one winner and one loser. So in the end, after each game, one group of slaves feels dejected and don't have the fake emotion of victory pumped through them. Dejected slaves are dangerous slaves, as the chance of rebellion against the slave master increases if the slaves aren't pumped full of fake positive emotions. This is where the draft comes in, allowing the worst teams to pick the best players from the next crop of athletes so that the sports agenda can pump fake victory-based emotion through the entire population over the long term. In order to sedate the slave class as a whole, each team must have its separate time on the podium, yet they can't monopolize the positive emotion to that one geographical area or fan subsection. This is why the entire sports system is set to rotate championships through the league. Another benefit of organized sports is control. In psychology, the most feared situation a human can encounter isn't death, it's actually a lack of autonomy, which simply means a lack of control. Some research shows that a person is more afraid of public speaking than they are of dying, and that's because during public speaking, you have less control than being dead. This is how much stress a lack of control can bring about in a human being. The slave class, if ever exposed to their true reality, have little to no control over their personal lives. And this, of course, can generate a great deal of stress inside the slave. This stress that will build up to dangerous levels in any human regarding having no control is an internal protection mechanism designed to signal the slave that something isn't right and that change is needed. Traditionally, stressed out slaves, being driven by their internal biology, weren't good for the slave masters. Stress that built up in the slave class can easily erupt against the elite, so a steam valve of control is needed to manage the master-slave relationship, to vent off that stress and provide the illusion of control again within the nervous system of the slave. Just like in the first part of this discussion, if real victory will be absent from a slave's life, you pump fake victory into the slave's nervous system to provide an illusion of victory-based satisfaction. This example regarding control is no different. If real control will be absent from a slave's life, you pump fake control into the slave's nervous system to provide an illusion of control-based satisfaction. The fake control you produce to sedate the slave is the choice of what team they get to cheer for. This sleight of mind is also the exact illusion of choice provided to the slave class with elections, but this time it's in regards to sports. The same illusion of choice is provided to people with their alcohol, junk food, medications, and even job. The entire agenda is to provide an illusion of choice for the slave, but always have the elite control all the outcomes. It doesn't matter if you drink Budweiser or Miller, Jack Daniels or Jim Beam, eat pizza or French fries, cheer for the Red Sox or the Yankees, take Lipitor or Crestor, or work for the elite in the military services or at the taxation department. The results are exactly the same on each account. The elite are in full control of the life outcomes of the slave class, while the slave imagines that they're running their life based on free will. It's as brilliant as it is sinister. The great thing about the fake and fabricated sports team-based choices is that it instantly provides the illusion of control and power in one's life, and of course that's very important when you're governing slaves who really have no choice and power. You need to have the slave imagine they have control and power, even though they have none, because if they ever realized they had no power, the biological stress would build and rebellion would be a guarantee. This is also why pre-game shows drive these fabricated emotions into a fever pitch regarding the choice of teams or favorite players to accentuate this manufactured illusion. All of this emotion is literally being generated by a light box that hangs on the wall of someone's house as the slave sits on the couch doing nothing important with themselves, and these slaves can't be more emotionally filled because that's the design of the system. The fake emotions are the cheese that brings the mouse close before the metal bar slams down on the neck of the uninformed victim. Regardless of what team you pick or favorite players, you're still doing the exact same thing as the other fans who pick the other side, but you satisfy the free will and emotional centers of the nervous system that you're really living your life as a free citizen, which of course you're not. Regardless of which team is cheered for, both fans are still in the stands, wasting large sums of money and time on something that's completely orchestrated by the ruling elite to sedate, distract, control, and manipulate the slave class into driving fake emotions through their own nervous systems designed to give the slaves the illusion that they have free will-based choice, control, and victory in their own lives. This is why the government on all levels are asked to ante up for sports endeavors, because all government employment depends on making sure the slave class never figures out that they literally support the well-paying jobs and pensions of the elite with their terrible lives and premature deaths working low-level positions in our society. With the nervous system of the slave class experiencing excitation through sport, this makes returning to the mindless and futile work on Monday much easier on all levels for the slave who was sedated to their very harsh reality during their short break away from the corporate plantation they call a job. The sheer numbers of fake emotions pumped into the slaves are too numerous to even get into. Fake emotions involving bravery, dominance, muscularity, warrior themes, male bonding, and celebrity are all pumped into the slave as they simply sit there on the couch, not moving an inch other than to take a piss and stuff themselves with the chemical sedation products that the elite have hand-delivered to all the local neighborhoods in order to enhance this effect. If the slave is entertained and pumped full of poison, they generally never figure out any of this. As George Orwell described in his predictive programming book, 1984, so long as they continued to work and breed, their other activities were without importance. Left to themselves, like cattle turned loose upon the plains of Argentina, they had reverted to a style of life that appeared to be natural to them, a sort of ancestral pattern. Heavy physical work, the care of home and children, petty quarrels with neighbors, films, football, beer, and above all, gambling filled up the horizon of their minds. To keep them in control was not difficult. That was a direct quote from George Orwell's book, 1984. When one sport ends, another one begins, and that is to make sure this effect is year-long. Sports stars are paid large salaries not because they offer value to the society, but because of the value they offer to the elite for controlling the slaves and making sure the slaves stay occupied mentally when they're home on the weekends, which is the most dangerous time for the elite regarding controlling the slave class. A slave not at work could investigate their structure of slavery, so the weekend is a time where a slave could empower themselves to break out of their slavery. The elite give the slaves time off, not because the elite care about their human property, but because the slaves are proven to work harder and produce more milk for their human farmers after the slaves rest. A beef farmer doesn't feed his cattle because he cares. He feeds them because of the reward he gets through his efforts. During the slave's downtime, you must make sure the slave minds are sedated with alcohol, marijuana, junk food, or distracted with entertainment. And that's where the sport comes in again. Pump in the fake emotions, disable the nervous system with booze, drugs, or junk food, and you bypass the rebellion potential that's a guarantee in our modern society based on a long-term agenda to return to the days of kings and queens, while a very large slave class sits on the other side of the castle wall doing menial tasks for barely any pay whatsoever. The more slave-like a society, the greater their sports promotion needs to be in order to vent off the ever-increasing stress potential of the slaves. In North America, sports is a religion, and it would have to be to run a society where there are slaves and there are elite, with a constant erosion of the middle class in between. The slaves could literally get together and march into the mansions of the elite and take them over any day. And the elite know this. This is why sport exists. One of the most obfuscated agendas regarding sports is the use of super strong humans in the sporting arena. The elite know that large humans are perfect leaders, and that the largest and strongest humans pose the ultimate leadership threat if left inside the slave class. The old philosophy is applied to the superhumans, the proven doctrine of, if you can't beat them, join them. The elite use the lower sports hierarchies to comb through the population in order to sort out the strongest of the herd. After the strongest of the herd are sorted through, those superhumans are brought into the fold of the ruling elite to make the elite agenda the athlete's agenda. The goal is to make the super strong athletes dependent on the maintenance of the slavery-based system and their new place at the top of it. The reason this has to be done should be obvious. Look at any public protest today regarding police, the enforcement arm of the ruling elite, and the moral public. Go ahead, Google public protest and see how the police are physically stronger and larger than the average protester. The physical difference is the domination factor the elite need to maintain control via fear and trauma. Now imagine, every NFL football player and NBA basketball player in the line of protesters. Imagine that right now in your mind's eye. How do the police look now? And what would happen if a police officer tasered a 300-pound NFL football player in a line of over 600 NFL football players? I think this is an easy point to contemplate. The elite are the weakest physical specimens of the human herd, and that's why they go to great lengths to manipulate the world to their advantage using laws and mental trickery, because they lack the brute force themselves to dominate others. The elite are weak and fear the strongest slave. So the slaves are sorted using the sports hierarchy, and they are promoted into elite positions into the sports pyramid so that the superhuman elite slave will fall into line with the elite's agenda. The sports teams themselves know they have to perform for their elite puppet masters. This is why the sports management teams watch their super athlete slaves for any sign one of the players may use their fame and fortune to tell the slave class exactly what's going on. Do you remember Tim Thomas, the goaltender for the Boston Bruins, who declined visiting the White House and President Barack Obama after the Boston Bruins won the Stanley Cup? Go ahead, follow his career after he tried to tell the slaves what was really going on in the world. You bring the strongest of the super athlete slaves into the elite fold and collect them in the stable so they never change the system and lead the slave class to the promised land, which they've done many times throughout history. That's why the elite are afraid of the strong and very large athletes. There is nothing more dangerous than a super intelligent, super large, super strong human to lead people treated unfairly against their oppressors. The sports system is designed to reduce any potential of this happening by paying off the super strong athlete slaves, so they're forced to turn a blind eye to reality by bribing the athletes with material possessions, fame, and preferential treatment. Not every super strong slave is going to be promoted to the top of the pyramid in order to maintain the illusion over the public. That's impossible. But what is beneficial about the sports conditioning system is that it programs the mind of all participants to listen to a coach and to develop what's called teamthink. Sports themselves are great conditioning tools for young human minds to mold the type of personalities the elite can use in lower positions in the ruling pyramid of slave governance. All sports teams hold similar working philosophies regardless of the age of the participants. Competition. Taking orders from a central figure to the detriment of yourself and to the benefit of the team as a whole. The peer pressure to acquiesce to command. The ability to see your fellow human as the enemy, even if that's only for a couple of hours a week. That, of course, develops split personalities inside the psyche. One personality that wants to destroy another human, only to turn that killer instinct off after the game is over. The ruling elite knows how to access what part of the personality they're looking to manipulate, which of course is the killer and aggressive portion. Sport develops a competitive person, which is the opposite of repetitive teachings of cooperation. Sport develops a personality that needs third-party direction at all times, giving up decisions to the herd. Sport develops a non-questioning frame of mind to authority because speaking against the central authority figure in the sports room is a great way to receive punishment or expulsion from the herd. These, of course, are the working foundations of our elite-run and tyrannical society. Sports conditions the mind for war, order-taking from the coach, the father authority figure, warlike strategy, groupthink, violence, and playing your role inside the tribe without question or resistance. This is also why governments like the Canadian government, the monarch that runs all 54 Commonwealth nations to this day, provides tax breaks for parents to enroll their children in sport, but gives no equal tax breaks for adults looking to exercise themselves because it would rarely be inside of sport. Sport conditioning for the young minds is important. Adult health is not. It's like any law that governs a country. They're a dead giveaway regarding the true agenda and who's running the show. Sort of like church proceeds and church properties being tax exempt. The children must be imprinted with sport in order so they be more easily conditioned as adults to accept the warlike strategies of their handlers. The sports arenas are filled with junk food, warlike mentalities, and more fabricated choice and fake freedoms than a person could ever hope for. This is called pre-programming for what lies ahead. The minor leagues of elite domination, prepping young minds for what their social engineers have already laid out for them in the short and long-term future. Sport is a gift that keeps on giving on every level for the ruling elite. Some of the oldest structures on earth are sports stadiums because sport is needed to maintain and accelerate our current societal structure based on inequality, violence, and domination. All these strategies are discussed in many publications by authors like Jordan Maxwell, Michael Tesserion, Stefan Molyneux, and Alan Watt. Knowledge is power. Power up. Thank you for taking the time to listen and watch this video.